Marie Lhossier, born in France, is a filmmaker and curator whose films are regularly shown at prestigious film festivals and museums. She's in El Paso and Juarez because she received a Guggenheim Award to work on a film called Casandro, the Exotico, a portrait of the beloved and celebrated Mexican wrestler. When it's done, this film will be featured in her retrospective at the MoMA in New York City in October 2017. Here to tell us about this project and her adventures with Casandro, El Exotico, is Marie Lhossier. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Bonjour. Thank you for welcoming me.
And Marie, it's so nice to know. How does a French woman end up in El Paso with a Mexican wrestler?
Well, it's a long travel because I lived in New York for 21 years. And in 2012, my previous feature came out commercially in the theater. And I was in L.A. to do the premiere. Mm-hmm. And that's where a friend invited me to an incredible show called Lucha Vavoom, which is a mix of Lucha Libre and sort of cabaret from the 50s feeling. And there was this wonderful man, Casandro. And he was the wrestler, the most energetic, tiny, nervous, and very exotic.
Right.
And it also really allowed all the luchadores to have permit and to have papers to fight in LA across the border from Juarez. And so that was very important. And I went backstage and met him very shortly. And then I regularly went to Mexico City because I program a film festival there in Mexico City called Distrital. And I met Casandro again.
He just happened to be there?
Yeah. And we knew we would be together. And he talked to me about his life. And I thought, wow, this man has such an aura and such an energy and such a beautiful desire to tell his story that very quickly it became evident that we had to work together and I had to make a film with him. I was still finishing my tour with the other film. It took a long time. And then in 2013, I ended up back in Europe after 21 years in New York. So I started working with a producer for the first time. Mm-hmm. And since 3 years, we've been working on developing this film about Casandro. And he is an exotico, which is a very specific category of lucha libre, which is without a mask. Often they are seen as gay, homosexual. But at the beginning of exoticos, they were just very, very straight wrestler who would perform as gay and kind of be like the clown of the scene. But Casandro, when I met, I didn't even think twice. It was just like a, you know, Fellini character, just full of glitters and feathers and super good athletes. I made no difference between a wrestler with a mask and a wrestler without a mask.
Right.
And what attracted me even more is that he was already a movie character from the fact he was so flamboyant and so articulated about his life and his personality.
We're on the radio, so if you can describe Casandro for our audience, I think that's important. He doesn't look like anybody else.
No. For me, he's like James Dean of Lucha Libre, mm-hmm. mixed with Elvis Presley, mixed with Liberace.
I did see one of your viewers where he's like, I'm the Liberace of wrestling.
Lucha Libre. I mean, he's, what I liked very much is like he's a man of many borders and many skins because he's on the border of Juarez and El Paso, mm-hmm. born in El Paso, grew up also in Juarez, in Chicago. And then really he's between feminine and masculine all the time. On stage, on the ring, he's very much of a masculine side, very much aggressive and a fighter. And then on life size, he's also very feminine and he has a very feminine, beautiful, sensitive side. And then visually, he really looks like between a beautiful Aztec, Indian, Mexican, and also American. And many frontiers of his face can change constantly. So for cinema, it's quite an extraordinary border of layers of life. You know, under the spotlight, outside of the spotlight, on the ring, out of the ring, masculine, feminine, Juarez, USA. There's a lot of lines that really interest me in his life, his personal story, and his look also.
So how do you get somebody like Cassandro to say, yeah, come into my home? Because you're watching him mop, and then you're watching him on stage, and then you're seeing him get ready, and you're seeing all the facets of what it's like to be Cassandro every day. How do you get that intimate with a person?
It takes a long time. It's not something I know when I have a subject. It's something I can't explain because it makes total sense when I meet that person, and it always has been that way for every film I've made. I never went to someone I wanted to film. It always happens that someone you meet becomes the subject of the film through friendships. Mm-hmm. So it's only about elaborating, for me, the friendship and time and trust. And the trust allows love and also reciprocity.
Yes.
Which allows also the person to trust you to take them also in your universe, my universe, which is very different from Cassandro in a way. Or in my previous film, I would take a very punk rock singer into a very, very surreal world of animation or something very different from their world. But the trust allows this mix to happen and to, I think, bring the strangeness and the strength of a film.
When does the camera disappear? When do you get to the point that it's just not there?
For me, I don't know really how to be without a camera. My main language is I shoot the film, I edit the film, I do the costumes, I do everything alone. And it's very new to work with a producer, for example, which is another system. Yet I cannot work even with a producer without shooting the film myself or doing... It's a very different process than a more... with a film crew, a more regular, more commercial fiction film, which requires maybe more people, crew. But it's so intimate that I cannot capture these kind of images if I'm not alone. I need to be alone with the character, mm-hmm. so I get intimate in a way that they forget the camera.
That's what I'm getting at. Are you able to see, since you are always with the camera, are you able to see that moment when the subject forgets?
Yeah. The hard thing with Cassandro is that he's a man on the stage.
Well, he's an entertainer by nature.
He's a beautiful entertainer, so it's hard to get him out of
that mode.
Of that mode. And that's the part where I'm very interested, because it's also much more easy for me to film Cassandro, who is Cassandro, but to film Saul Almendares, the other part of the born Saul, who is a very different man than Cassandro. They're battling between each other. One is kicking the other all the time. And that dichotomy is where it's harder actually to film the more documentary side than the more fictional side.
Now, tell us about your retrospective, because it's kind of a big deal to have a retrospective at the MoMA.
Well, it's been a long time. I mean, by living in New York, I used to curate films, so I knew the whole film world and made my film on the side, not telling too many people. But I had my world. And they would show here and there at Tribeca or film festivals or Anthology Film Archive. And then I work with MoMA for retrospective of films I would do at the French Institute. And then recently there was a curator, Sally Berger, who invited me. I said, that's your time. And since I left New York,
like?
It felt surreal. I mean, I hope it happens.
Well, all this work would be for naught if it doesn't.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful gift for me, because I work so hard without much support financially to make these films. And it's a specific cinema, which is in between the lines.
Right, because you say you're traveling between the surreal and the documentary.
It's never fiction, it's never documentary, it's never contemporary art, it's also contemporary art. There's so many lines that are in between that it's hard for me to have a place or to be put in a box. Mm. And it's true also to come back to New York, not as a voyageur, to just see friends or do a show curating, but to come back as a filmmaker is a really beautiful gift for me.
It's pretty amazing. So how do you find a home outside of a box?
It's in suitcases. I mean, I feel very scattered because I have things everywhere. In Berlin, where I landed, then in Lisbon, then in France. I never have a fixed home, so it's residency and then Andover art residency to another one. It's kind of rock and roll. Sometimes I hate it. Sometimes I feel free for the first time. but also I have to eat, so I'm always right. also like...
Then there's life.
Then there's life coming, and it's really tough. So I teach, I do workshops, which I adore doing, and now I'm looking for a more regular teaching job because I actually miss being more in contact with... I'm used to only work with others.
Right.
And then work alone on my films. And now to work alone on my films, even though I have a wonderful producer and friends, but it's very lonely also.
It's still solitary.
Yeah. And right. I miss getting out of my head and life and just going to others to give others, you know, like curating or teaching. It's kind of, you get back a lot.
But you say getting out of your head, but you are going to be spending some time here with the students at the Rubin Center and hopefully incorporating
yes.
them into your film. So that's kind of starting to happen.
I mean, that I love. And that's thanks to meeting Carrie Doyle at the Rubin and Melissa and Luca and Danielle. It was like such a great meeting because they opened the workshop downstairs. I'm able to build props and things and also get in touch with whoever wants to be in the film as
like an extra?
Extra, but performing so that I can't exactly say, but there would be many Cassandros in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love people to be Cassandra at different age, from kids to older age, to non-actors to actors. It doesn't matter at all. And there will be a sort of performance to be in the film as many layers as possible.
We wish you luck as you continue your work.
Thank you.
Today, my guest has been Marie Lozier, who is here in El Paso and Juarez working on a film called Cassandro the Exotico. Thank you so much